The right thing, I believe, and you know, take it with a pinch of salt, do whatever you wish with this, is to focus on planning right now. Focus on bringing that budget together. Think of it like a training program. Think of it like your triathlon program. Think of it as ascertaining where exactly you're at, what things you need to focus on to get better. Plan it out, forecast it out, and just like you do with a triathlon, you'd maybe say, look, I want to do an Olympic distance triathlon in under 2 hours and 30 minutes by, I don't know, July or something like that. How do you do it? Well, you plan it out. You know what your training sessions are. You plug them in. Is this session going to be better than this session? Yes or no? Do that session then. Don't do the other session. Are you going to be wasting your time doing a 4 hour easy bike ride when you're only doing a sprint distance triathlon? Yes, of course you are. So don't do the 4 hour training ride. Do the sprint distance training ride for the triathlon. Do what you need to do right now.
And that was myself, actually, recording a little segment in the bathroom, as you do, as we're contemplating these crazy times with the coronavirus and some of the issues that we're all facing in today's episode 22 of the Swim Smooth podcast. Hey there, everybody. Paul Newsome here from Swim Smooth, and welcome to another Swim Smooth podcast. Now, of course, the world is all going very crazy at the moment with the coronavirus, and, you know, things are very much uncertain and up in the air. Unfortunately, our local swimming pool, Claremont Pool, closed last Saturday. So for the last 6-7 days or so, I've been without work, which is pretty trying, really, for someone who's been coaching for 21 years and been down on the pool deck every day pretty much during that time since 5 a.m. It's quite hard to suddenly go to zero from a very, very busy schedule. And during this last 6-7 days, I've been reflecting quite a little bit on what this new landscape looks like for all of us. And believe it or not, I was in the shower just yesterday morning and started thinking about, you know, how are we going to get through this? What do we need to do, et cetera? Because if I just talk you through very briefly what's happened this week. The pool closed, the local swimming pool closed last Saturday. And my initial responses were that, okay, well, that's not too bad. You know, they were telling us at that point it's going to be closed for about a month. And, you know, tossing up in my head thinking, okay, well, a month, you know, okay, we haven't got any pool fees to pay for, sort of thing, but we're not getting any revenue in either. It's going to be tough, but it's not going to be too bad. Anyway, we got to Monday, and I had, over the weekend, decided to come up with this idea of organizing some mental health swims and walks. And the concept here was to meet with the squad, or those who were willing to come down, at 7 a.m., and we'd actually alternate between a mental health swim on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And we'd alternate that with a mental health walk in a local park on a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And the concept was to maintain social distancing and to look at just making sure we're doing our part for the, you know, the societal aspect of everything that's going on. Now, whilst over here in Perth in Western Australia, back literally as recently as Sunday, so we're talking about five or six days ago there, it was probably deemed okay to do that at that point. I suddenly got cold feet over the weekend. So our first session was going to happen on Monday. On Sunday afternoon, I just decided, okay, this is probably not the right thing. I don't want to be that guy who's left trying to, you know, scrape a living out of trying to encouraging people still to come down and do essentially a group session when the rest of the world is falling to pieces. And, you know, I feel obviously very strongly and sorry for anybody who's listening to this who have loved ones who have been affected directly by the coronavirus. It's a really weird scenario because right now we know it's coming here in Perth in Western Australia, but we can't actually see it yet. I don't know anybody locally who has it. I don't know anybody who's affected and in hospital. Lots of my friends are doctors and they're telling us and preparing us for the worst, etc. But it's really hard to visualize exactly what's going to happen and what it's all going to be like. So, like I say, as recently as Sunday, I'm preparing to do this thing. I've got cold feet. I decided not to do it. I think it was the right call to do. And over the course of this week, the government has gradually clamped down further and further and further on these aspects. So Triathlon Australia, who provide my coaching insurance as a triathlon swim coach, just a couple of days ago announced that they wouldn't be supporting anybody who are doing group training sessions. So I think I made the right call there, because obviously the last thing you want to be doing is running a training session without full insurance coverage and doing the right thing on that part. So that's that then left me on Monday. So I thought, well, okay, what can we do? What can we do to actually sort of keep people engaged? And I sort of went through this period over the first few days, Monday and Tuesday, where I just felt like I had to do everything. I felt like I had to create a million and one different YouTube videos. I had to put stuff out and pump it out and keep people engaged, etc. But without probably stopping to pause and realize that actually, everybody is going through the ringer at the moment. Everybody is actually battling to organize their livelihoods and, you know, what does this mean for the future, taking kids out of school, et cetera, et cetera. So I think me banging away and putting out this content and stuff, I think I just, it was all just a bit too premature, to be perfectly honest with you. And I started off with rather than actually getting everyone to meet together, we decided to do a 7 a.m. morning stretch via Zoom. And the principle was all well and good in theory. We'd do 30 minutes of dry land stretching, including some exercises to keep your swimming muscles all pumped up and mobilized, etc. And then we'd spend 15 minutes walking around the local block. So wherever you were, I encourage you to grab your phone, walk around the block, keep the Zoom meeting going, and we'd just chat through what we're all going through. Now, added to this, I wanted to make it a little bit special. So I spiced things up a little bit by dressing up like a glam rock star from the 1980s and doing a Jane Fonda style aerobics workout. We called it hashtag Fonda Smooth. So this was all quite interesting, quite entertaining, hopefully initially. But the reality was that I was very much hiding behind a bit of an alter ego doing these exercises and trying to keep everyone happy, trying to keep myself happy as well. And it was all a bit over the top and a bit too much full on energy, etc. It got to Wednesday morning, and I don't know what happened. Never happens to me before. Imagine I've been coaching 21 years. I stand in front of over 100 people every single day in my coaching life, talking and liaising and communicating with 100 people. On Wednesday morning, I was about to press start on the Zoom thing to start the aerobic session, and I just bottled it. I had a massive panic attack. I just thought, you know, what am I doing this for? I don't feel like I can connect with people via the YouTube or via the Zoom link here. It all just felt a little bit too much. I thought, you know, the kids were laughing at me for wearing this stupid outfit. Dad, what are you doing? You're being stupid, etc. And, you know, I guess it all just got to me, and I had a bit of a breakdown at that point. And luckily, one of the squad swimmers, Sean, who normally joins in on these sessions, he happened to be driving by, and he said, look, I'll be there in 3 minutes. I'm coming over. And he took me for a walk around Ball Park and slapped me across the face literally and metaphorically a couple of times and told me to get my act together and saying, look, I think you've just hit all of this a bit too premature, mate. Everyone's battling at the moment. The dust hasn't settled. People are unsure. They're uncertain. They're probably just calculating their finances, etc. I think you probably just need to do the same. Just pause and reflect and pull back a little bit. So that's exactly what I did. And what sort of sent me into a little bit of a spin later on that day was the pool, which had ordinarily said, okay, it's going to be around about a month that you're going to be out of the pool for. And we've got a set date here of the 20th of April. I then had it from one of the duty managers that actually, mate, you need to prepare yourself for a little bit longer than that, maybe even as much as 6 months. So you can imagine 6 months, no revenue, nothing coming in. I'm starting to really panic there at that point and think, okay, my God, you know, what is going to happen here? And I'm sure many of you listening to this are going through their own, you know, their own little battles like that. You're thinking to yourself, okay, well, what are my financial commitments? How long am I going to be able to last, especially if I haven't got a job, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, part of that frenzy earlier on this week of me trying to do a lot of stuff, it wasn't necessarily thinking, okay, how can I generate online revenue or anything like that? It was more just about how can we actually keep people engaged and you know, so when we do come back, that hopefully people still want to come back to the training session. So I'm really grateful for Sean for taking me out and slapping me across the face. The net result of that is what I'm going to talk about in today's podcast. So I'll just bring you back to why you're probably hearing some noise in the background. So picture this if you can. Yesterday, I was in the shower and I had this idea that what I wanted to do was actually chat about some of my experiences with you guys through the podcast, about what's happened this week and how I've actually got through some of these little hurdles. We're all going through stuff right now. None of us are immune to this by any stretch of the imagination. And one of the big things that helped me was You know, it's so common just to say, okay, this is a catastrophe. It's all dull and gloom. We're gonna go out of business. We're gonna lose our houses and all that sort of stuff. But it's all very well and good saying that. But have you actually paused, which I hadn't, stopped and reflected, which I hadn't, and thought about, okay, well, it's a little bit like a training program, right? If you come to me for a one-to-one video analysis session and you tell me that you're not happy with your swimming, you're dissatisfied with where you're at, and you tell me that you feel like you're on a bit of a plateau, the very first question I ask anybody in this scenario is, well, tell me what that plateau is. Tell me what speed you can swim. What's your CSS pace? What's your 1,000 meters? And invariably, people sort of shrug their shoulders and go, don't really know. And my immediate response is then, well, you don't know that you're on a plateau. If you can't tell me exactly where you're at this point, then you don't know if you're performing poorly or haven't been improving over the years, etc. You've just a sense, a feeling, a very sort of subjective feeling that that is the case. Now, of course, this is very much what I've been doing, thinking about my finances going forwards this week. I've been thinking, you know, feeling that I'm going to be in trouble, but without objectively sitting down, pausing for a moment and actually starting to look at this. So following on from the conversation with Sean around Bold Park, that's exactly what I did. I paused, I pulled out the old Excel spreadsheet, and I love Excel spreadsheets. I had some help with a guy from the squad as well, a guy called Chris Knott, who's a very close friend of mine and helped me with all my running training last year for the Attilo. So me and Chris are very good mates, and he is an absolute whiz with Excel. So we sat down and we started to bash out a bit of an idea, a bit of a plan, if you like, of, okay, this is where we're at right now. So if you're thinking about this yourself, we're talking about this is where we're at in terms of finances. So, you know, how much money have you got in the bank right now? Now, I know this is a podcast about swimming, but bear with me one moment here, because this is very much like training up for a particular event that you want to do well. At the start of any event, if you were following our Swim Smooth Guru, the very first session is always something like a time trial, something where you can get some known inputs about where you're starting. And that's exactly what I needed to do myself on Wednesday. I needed to look at the bank account, see exactly what that is. And then, just like a training session, what we do is identify those weaker points that we need to be working on. So in the context of your finances, it might be as simple as, you know, what expenses have you got going out at the moment? Identify those, cut them down, categorize them, look at where you are. Just like in a training session, a swim training session, I might say to you, hey, you're crossing over and this is causing your legs to be a little bit wider apart. Your legs are therefore sinking. That's creating drag. And, you know, if we can improve this, we might make 5 seconds improvement per 100 within the next 3 or 4 weeks. This is what I wasn't doing to calm myself down earlier this week. What sent me into a spin was just assuming that it was all going to go dull and gloom. I subjectively was looking at my situation as opposed to objectively knowing a little bit more about it. So I was in the shower yesterday and I'm thinking about all of this and I'm thinking about the spreadsheet that I've just built. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go totally off the cuff here and I'm going to record these thoughts that might be able to help some of you out there listening to try to actually get yourself a little bit settled with respect to anxiety and stress. And, you know, everybody's situation is different. I'm not a financial advisor, far from it, in fact. And please obviously take what I'm saying as more of a conceptual idea of what you need to be doing right now. It's all very well and good, you know, swim coaches like myself pumping out bits and pieces. Here's some dry land exercises. This is what you need to do to keep your shoulders healthy and mobilized and stuff. But chances are right now, you're not in that mindset right this moment to start to think about that. If you're doing any exercise by yourself, it's probably solo and it's probably a bit of a stress relief. You're trying to turn your brain off. You're not trying to think about too much. And that's what I got wrong earlier on this week. I was trying to get people to, you know, keep things pumping through, et cetera. And the time will come for that, but the dust hasn't settled yet. I believe what we all need to do is stop, pause, collect our thoughts and look at things a little bit more, you know, a little bit more holistically, look at where we're at financially and then start to project how long we can sort of last this out. Now, I found with myself and with this projection that I ran out, I found that even if the numbers were telling me something which wasn't particularly good news, at least I had those numbers in front of me to sort of say objectively, okay, July, August or September, October, then we're going to start to run into issues. And if you know that, then you know what you need to be doing in the meantime to cut back on those expenses, maybe seek government assistance, maybe pause your mortgage and do all these sort of things. So I was in the shower and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to talk me through some notes here. So I got my Apple Watch out, which is on my wrist, and I just used the note function to actually record a little bit of a diatribe. And it was, around about 20, 25 minutes. You guys are going to get a chance to listen to that in a moment. You'll hear it's a bit echoey. You'll hear it's a bit sort of off the cuff, but I don't mind. You know, I'm hoping some of those thoughts and ideas will help you action exactly what you need to do. Now, if you're a swimmer, there are some thoughts on there about how you can potentially support your local coach through these times. And equally, if you're a coach, there's some really good tidbits in there about what you need to be doing to ensure that your swimmers stay engaged and you keep them focused and you keep them sort of just communicating with them basically through these difficult times, both in terms of, you know, keeping themselves fit and agile, etc., but also in terms of just keeping them in touch with yourself during this time. So I thought, right, okay, this is great. I've got this little bit of recording. I'll put it on the laptop. I'll do the editing. I'll try and boost the volume. I'll do all those things. But I'll sit down and I'll do a proper intro to that. Now, this is that proper intro to that. And you can hear there's birds tweaking in the background. There's cars passing. So right now, visualize this. I'm sat in a car park in a place where I don't know. I happen to have all my equipment with me. And the reason I've got all my equipment with me is myself and my wife, who's a physio, Michelle, we decided this afternoon with the help of Yana, one of our South African coaches, that we were actually going to come to Michelle's physio clinic here in Netherlands and actually film a piece for you to show you how to actually ward off shoulder injuries, maybe prehab your shoulders. So when you do get back down to the pool, you're going to be well set and you're going to be great for that. And we weren't going to release it for maybe, 6, 7, 8 days or so like that. Like I say, once the dust has settled a little bit, it'd probably take me that time to edit it all up. But it's a great routine that we had all planned out. Anyway, we get it all sorted. We leave the kids at home. We say we're going to be back in about an hour, hour and a half. We hop in the car. We drive down to the Netherlands Physio Clinic. We open it up. Michelle's got this great advice on the door about COVID-19. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to shoot this as part of the video. I'm going to have this entry scene going in. Here she is. She's thinking about how to clean your hands and all this sort of stuff. And she did it once. And I thought, no. We need to do it again. We need to have another take. And I shouted out to her, I said, can we just do that again? Come back, do it again. And she starts marching back. She says, oh, hang on, I'll just get my keys. Oh, you don't need your keys. Don't worry about that. So she comes back. She closes the door. We do the scene. And then she tries to open the door. And, of course, we're locked out. So I'm locked outside this physio clinic with my wife, with about $20,000 worth of filming gear that we were going to use to actually produce this thing. And nowhere getting back into the clinic, nowhere getting the car keys, which are locked in the clinic, nowhere getting her phone, which would allow us to actually phone her partner to maybe come down and bring down some keys for us. So Michelle has literally just left me, not fully left me, but I think she was ready to, because it was obviously my fault for saying, don't worry about the keys. She's walked off home. It's about an hour walk. She's trudging off home. She's going to pick up the car, pick up the kids, drive over to her partner's place, get another set of keys, come back to the physio clinic. It's about 5 p.m. on Saturday afternoon right now. Nobody's around. She's going to open up the clinic. We're going to get a car and we're going to lost our opportunity, obviously, to film that segment. Now, that's not obviously the end of the world. We'll do it again maybe tomorrow or Monday. Who knows? We're all free and available at the moment. But I thought to myself, well, okay, I've got this hour and 45 minutes or so before Michelle will rock back up here. What am I going to do? I'm going to film that intro. I'm going to record that intro for the podcast. The only place I could find that was remotely quiet from cars driving past, at least to some extent, is this abandoned car park. So like I say, visualize where I'm at right now. I'm hunched over the computer, hunched over this wall. I can't get Adam involved. So Adam would obviously normally do the intro with us. But because I haven't actually got a set of headphones, we'd actually end up getting a reverberation coming back through the podcast. So bear with me. I'm hoping this bit of a ramble and a jaunt sort of thing, if nothing else, just gives you a little bit of a laugh at Paul type of situation. You know, here he is. He's had a pretty reasonable start to the week. Then it crash landed in the middle. picked himself up. He's trying to share how he picked himself up. And now he's crashed back down again because he's locked himself, or his wife and himself have locked themselves out of the clinic and can't do the one thing that we wanted to achieve this week. Such is life, right? Such is life right now. The coronavirus, uncertainty, you know, you might be in a much dire situation. Here I am, you know, moaning about the fact that I'm locked out of an office. I'm stuck in a car park by myself talking to you guys through this speaker, but I'm fit, I'm healthy, the sun is shining on me right now. I don't know anybody who's got the coronavirus. I don't know anybody who's affected by it, certainly not here in Perth. Unfortunately, one of our coaches, Jason, in the UK, may well have contracted it himself, and one of our IT development specialists, Joe, might have had it, but certainly nobody here in Perth. We're just waiting for the onslaught to come at us. We're trying to do our things to keep that social distancing, but I'm hoping that this little ramble in the bathroom, me talking through my little watch, talking to you through some ideas about how you can actually keep yourself going from a financial perspective. And like I say, I'm not a financial advisor, but from a financial perspective, with the view that really, if you've ever partaken in a triathlon or swimming program, you always start off with that one known value. Where are you at right now? Where are you at? What are your issues that you're facing? And in this context, we're talking about expenditure, of course. Okay. And where do you need to get to? How long is it going to take you to get to your destination as well? And unfortunately, the destination in this regard would be, of course, how long are your funds going to last doing what you're doing at the moment? What things can you do to intervene to get like that? So we're not talking about high performance. We're literally talking about survival at this point. And I know, you know, we're trying to pump out stuff that help us all keep positive and sane and all that sort of stuff. So even me talking about the idea of, okay, when does the money run out? That might sound like it's a negative view on all of this, but it's not. It's a reality check. It's what we need to do right now. I strongly believe, and I'm saying this from experience, whether you take this to heart or not, I've had that blip this week. And undoubtedly the blip was all about, what happens if I run out of money? What happens if we have to look at selling the house or losing the house? You know, something which I've worked very, very hard for over the years. I feel the burden of 50 coaches, 50 swim smooth coaches right around the world. They're all hurting as well. They're all losing their swimmers or have lost their swimmers, you know, at least to hibernation for this period. They can't access their pools, etc. How do we keep those guys buoyant and motivated? What can we be doing in the background to actually work on, you know, work on our businesses as opposed to actually working in our business? What can we be doing on that front? But ultimately, it all starts off with just knowing how long you are going to be fine for. And I don't think that's a negative thing at all. In fact, I actually found this week it's been a totally positive thing. And like I say, I must thank Sean specifically and also Chris for helping me with the spreadsheet as well. It's a spreadsheet which we're looking to share widely. Like I say, I'm not a financial advisor, but I'm very good. I have to blow my own trumpet here. I'm very good with sort of conceptualizing programs and patterns and things into the future. Because if you think about it, that is what I do on a day-to-day basis. It's about programming training sessions. It's about getting people to go where they want to go. And it all starts with knowing those first few variables. You know, where is your income? Have you got any income? Where are you starting from financially? What's left over? And then your expenditure. And that might seem quite boring. It might seem like a bit of a budget, but we'll show you how to actually then forecast this out into the future, just so you've got a really good check on where you're at. Within the podcast recording, I also talk about this idea of a war chest. So I'm in a unique situation, and I say unique, it's part of the industry or the business that I'm in, if you like. When people join up for my squad training sessions, they usually buy a pass of 10, 25, 50 or 100 sessions. And so they'll buy that pass up front, and then each session they attend, it just deducts from that. So this unique scenario where I'm in, we have around about 350 people in the squad, each with varying degrees of credit left within the system. Now, I'm looking at this both as a liability and as an asset. Let me talk you through the liability first. The liability aspect of all of this is simply the fact that as people start to go through their hard times, I've got to be able to project and forecast how many of those swimmers will ultimately end up asking for a refund on those credits if it looks like we're not going to return to the pool in a shorter time frame as we initially expected. things like my one-to-one sessions, which have been booked into in advance. I've got 35 of those booked in. You know, they're $229. I don't mind telling you that. $229 a session. That accounts to quite a little bit of money in the system. Our squad swimmers add on top to that as well. So what we need to try and do on that respect from a liability perspective is look at how we can actually keep those swimmers engaged, making sure that they understand that if that money stays in the system from me personally, it's going to allow us to actually ride out this for however long it takes. From an asset perspective, well, that's exactly that. It's allowing me to be in that position to be able to do that. When I first told my wife that that's the issue, I was nervous. I was thinking, okay, liability, liability, liability. If everybody asks for this money back right now, then it's obviously going to shorten that survival period quite significantly. But from an asset perspective and how you manage that asset, then that's going to be a very, very important thing indeed. And like I say, you might not be a swimming coach. You might have nothing to do with that as a profession whatsoever. But if you're a small business owner, okay, and you're listening into this and you, like I say, whether or not you're a small business owner who knows how to potentially, you know, look after your coach and just sort of be a little bit lenient with them. This, I guess, is a call out to sort of be that way. If you can be, if you can afford to do that. Not everybody can do, but I've had so many lovely emails this week from people in the squad saying, hey, mate, I know you're doing it tough. I know you're scared, but if there's anything I can do to help, anything at all, people are asking me, can we give you more money up front to actually help you ride this out, to actually keep a steady stream of cash flow going? People have even said to me, you know, if you just send us one tip each week to improve our open water swimming, we'll just take that as a credit off what we've already paid for, these type of things. But the most important thing is really just allowing us to actually ride this out, maintaining as much of this war chest, as we call it, and allowing us to actually ride it out there. If you're in a small business and you may be faced with that yourself, so for example, you might be in the tourism industry or what have you, there's going to be pretty stringent rules on whether or not you can maintain and hang on to any cash in that situation. But everybody's hurting, and this goes right the way up the chain. So one of the things that they're actually proposing over here in Australia at the moment is this idea of cryogenic suspension. Really what they mean is they're trying to put the economy into hibernation. Obviously, the economists around the world would say yes or no, that will work or it won't work. But I think it really starts at a much, much simpler level. It starts at the level of making sure that you're just trying to recognize and realize that everybody is going to hurt through this, everybody, unless, of course, you're in the toilet roll industry and you'll be booming right now. but that aside, it's just, I guess, being lenient and sympathetic towards others to help them ride out this situation. I've got nothing else to really add to it other than that. I'm going to play the segment now of me in the bathroom. I'm hoping you enjoy it. I'm hoping it's food for thought. I'm hoping it helps to calm you down. If you actually sit down and do what I'm saying, if you actually sit down, whether it's a spreadsheet that you create for yourself or when we've got ours available, we'll publicly post it out on this link as well. And, you know, I think it might just help to calm your nerves. So anyway, thanks for listening to this rather impromptu Swim Smooth podcast, set in a car park and also set in a bathroom. I want you to try and stay as fit and as healthy as you possibly can. Stay safe, stay communicating, keep in touch, drop us a line. Let us know if you're enjoying the podcast themselves. Has this one been a bit weird and a bit too quirky for you? Don't be afraid to let us know. It's feedback@swimsmooth.com and we look forward to hearing you from there. So anyway, here we go.
I'm a swimming coach and always have been for the last 21 years. It's all I've ever known. And right now, not being able to coach is quite a daunting prospect. The one reason why I do coach, which is becoming immediately apparent now outside, you know, when you have a chance to pause and reflect, is simply because I love helping people improve themselves, love helping them get better. And the way I do that, my medium for that is swimming, of course. I've taken an interest in swimming. I've always swum. And I love the biomechanics and the physiology behind it. And I love showing people how to plan out to get the best outcomes. And the first thing which anybody ever says when they come for a one-to-one session, If you think about it, if you come to a one-to-one video analysis session, you come in because you're not happy with where you are with your swimming at this point in time. You want to see some improvements. You want to get better. You want to improve your stroke or whatever it might be. So the swimmers often come to me and they'll say, the very first thing they'll often say is, I'm just not getting any faster. I want a plateau. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what is that plateau? What speed are they swimming at? Can you tell me what speed you're swimming at? If you can't tell me what speed you're swimming at, if you don't know what your CSS pace is or what time you might be able to do it for a 1500, and you can't tell me exactly what training sets you did last week and what times you held, then how do you really know if you're on a plateau? How do you really know if you're in need of help, if you're in trouble or what have you? Now, I see a lot of similarities in this in how everyone's feeling at the moment with various things. My biggest fear, which I'm sure is shared by a lot of people, is the fear of the unknown, the uncertainty of it all, and the fear of actually running out of finances, out of cash. Right now, I'm at a zero revenue state, so not bringing in any money, neither is my wife. We've got a large mortgage, we've got young kids. We've, I guess, become accustomed to a way of life, which is actually being fueled by the income that I've made from my coaching business. Now, like you, that might well have dried up now, and potentially for the foreseeable future as well. Now, initially, the prospects for my local pool here was it was going to be closed for a month. So, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, that means I'm going to lose this amount of money. It's going to have a little bit of an impact, but it's not going to kill me. It's not going to be the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination. So initially going into all of this, I was actually quite hopeful that that things would be okay. And I guess I didn't really pay too much heed to planning for the future, really. Consequently, I went into this thinking, oh, great, 4 weeks, okay, let's pause, let's reflect, let's think about what we can do with the business, how we can work on the business rather than what we all do, which is obviously day-to-day working in the business. So initially, the prospect of pausing for a little while was fantastic, with the idea that, okay, we'll be able to use this time wisely, might get caught up on a bit of Netflix, et cetera, et cetera. But that feeling and that sense of positivity, which was really quite high, even as recently as Sunday, I'm recording this now on Friday, so 5 or 6 days later, was running really quite high. And the reason it was running quite high was because I was thinking, okay, well, we've got this amount of money in savings. The pool's going to be closed for this long. We've got a date at this point in time. So I'm confident that we'll be able to make it through without having to run any calculations. I'm confident that I'll be able to make it through and then just pick up, and things might be a bit slow to pick up, of course, sort of thing, but it will happen. The interesting thing though, of course, is that as things are developing with this coronavirus day by day, hour by hour, even as recently as Monday, the following day, I went from a feeling like a 10 or 11 out of 10. So feeling quite optimistic, you know, not too worried about things, to the Monday, then feeling, oh my God, here we go, Monday. It looks like the pool's going to be closed a little bit longer. What are we going to do about that? Now, we haven't been given a time frame for that. It's all just purely speculation, etc. But I think the most important thing at this point in time to actually override that fear is simply that sensation that we need to ensure that we know where we're starting and then putting a plan in action to help counter that. So in the context of swimming, this would be like you coming to me and saying, I feel like my swimming has plateaued, I want to get better. And my first question is, well, how fast are you swimming? And you say, I don't know. And I'll say, well, you don't know your plateau then. So right now, what we're all doing around the world is we're all saying, oh my God, we're going to die, it's going to be the end of the world, we're going to run out of money, etc., etc., etc. And that might well be true for even a vast majority of us. But I think it's remiss of us to sort of suddenly say that, get caught up with the hype and the media and feel like it's definitely, you know, end of the world, dull and gloom, without actually first assessing and addressing the situation that you're in. So the very first thing you need to do, I believe, is to make sure that you know where you're starting from, a starting point. So in the context of swimming, you might tell me, okay, I've done a CSS test, my threshold pace is 145 per 100. Great, I know exactly where you're starting from. I might then look also at things like, okay, well, you're crossing over, your legs are a little bit low, this might save you 2 seconds here, that might save you three, you might feel a little bit easier if you change this with your breathing and do that, etc. And we can put together a little bit of a plan, a little bit of a focused plan and trajectory of how we might improve. So then we set out with this training session and we plan it forwards. And we're looking for key markers. Okay, you know, where are you at 1 month into this? Where are you at 2 months into this? And we keep checking and we keep assessing. And if things aren't working, then we make an adjustment and we make an adjustment and so on and so forth. I think where people are really struggling though at the moment, and I'm no financial advisor, I don't mean to come across as that or what have you, but is many of us probably don't know exactly where we are status-wise. How much money have you got in the bank? How much money have you got in your savings? Are there any other pots of gold that you can sort of pull upon from? Yes or no, you might not have. You might be very low on that, and that might be causing a lot of fear, and that's totally understandable. But what is that value? Are you a 215 swimmer or are you a 210 swimmer? A 210 swimmer is slightly better than a 215 swimmer. Okay, have you got a little bit that you can actually sort of start with? What is that input? What is the input that we're going to put into this generator to actually generate a bit of a prediction, a bit of a forecast of how long we can survive this, how long we can make it work? Until you know that number, you don't know anything. So there's no point putting your hands up and saying, it's all dull and gloom, I'm definitely going to lose everything, I'm going to lose my business, without actually knowing that starting point. So step number one, find that starting point. Work out where your finances are at this point in time. It might be as simply a case of just going to your going to your bank account and just looking at the totals. Okay, so that's our step one. Step two, we then need to look at our expenses. Now, I use a little software called Get Books or Get Pocket Books, I think it is. And this particular app will actually, you input your bank account details into there. And what it'll do is a little robot or whatever will actually go through all your income and expenditure and actually split it out into categories. So nobody likes doing a budget. I bloody hate it, or at least I used to do. But right now, it can be a lifesaver. You go through this system and you sort of work out, okay, well, this is how much I'm spending on entertainment. That's how much my mortgage is. It's so much. And you split it all out. And by splitting it all out, it's a little bit like doing a stroke correction session, right? It's saying, okay, my crossover is causing me this much pain. My sinky legs are causing me this much drag. You categorize things and you work out where those different elements are. And then what you need to do with that is you need to work out what exactly is your monthly expenditure at this point in time. But I would strongly urge you to split out anything that is longer than month. So what I mean by that is payments that you make bi-monthly, payments that you make quarterly, biannually and annually. These are normally quite big payments. So it might be something like, let's say it might be mortgage sort of thing, but most of you are probably paying that fortnightly or monthly. But it might be things like taxation, your taxation liability. When does that come up? When do you pay your car tax as well? When do you pay your utilities bills? When do they come up and how much are they typically? And then if you start to plot that out and actually start to think, okay, well, in, let's say, May, I'm going to be liable for this particular bill because this bill always comes up. It's for my car's tax and it's this amount, it's $600. And you plot that in. And then you think, okay, well, when's my next tax liability? And it's going to be this much and it's going to happen in July. Put that in. Have a little look at that. Put it in there. Now, with many of these incentives that the governments are bringing out, and this is different across the world, of course, what you will be looking at doing is sort of seeing whether or not you can defer some of these big payments, like your tax liability, even putting your mortgage on pause. But what we need to do is we need to model for the effect of all of that. So again, going back to the dull and gloom situation, you've worked out that, hey, I haven't got much in savings. I've worked out what my expenditure is, okay? And your expenditure for everybody right now, if you're going into lockdown, should of course be a lot, lot lower. You need to almost forecast for where it is currently, where it could be if you reduced things, so get rid of some of the non-essential items. Unfortunately, as a swimming coaching company with an online platform, we do fall into that bracket of a non-essential item, especially because you can't be in the pool. So we're seeing massive, massive numbers of unsubscribes, of course, which is fearful, you know, but we can sort of gauge what that is. We know how many people are pulling out. We can sort of put a number on it. And putting a number on these sort of things is so, so important. So you can sort of see where you then start to, you know, where you can actually draw back a little bit. And equally, which of those things might you be able to put on pause? Can you get rid of Netflix? Can you get rid of Amazon Prime and stuff like that? Some of you will be wanting that at the moment because you want a little bit of light entertainment from things, and they're only small amounts as well. But could you be cutting back on your grocery bills? How will you do that? How will you make things last a little bit longer? So you need to run those scenarios of where you're currently at on your expenditure, where you're actually hoping to actually reduce down to, and what the landscape might look like if you're able to pause some of these items and for how long. Once you know all of this, we can then put this into basically a funky old spreadsheet, which will then allow us to sort of forecast where things are going to get quite tight. Now, all of this depends, of course, on the amount of income that you've got going in. In our case, zero at the moment. So that's not a good sign. It all depends on where you're starting from and also where your expenditure is. And if you can calculate that over time, then you've got a really good idea of when you might start to be running dry. Now, you might start to then get a little bit inventive, think, okay, well, I'm not going to be earning what I normally earn, far from it, in fact. Even 10% of what you used to earn, if you're out of a job right now, is a bonus. So you need to know where you can make that from, whether it's online videos, whether it's, I don't know, selling something to neighbors, basically, without you obviously making contact with them, something you can do and generate a little bit of earning from. It's maybe online advice for your swimmers, if you're a coach like me, whatever it might be. Can you claw some income, and where can it come from? Even the tiniest little bit will help. Put that in there, put that into that, and factor that in. Now, the biggest thing, as myself, as a swimming coach, and if you're listening to this because you are a swimming coach, the biggest issue with all of this is then, okay, well, I take advance payments for my training sessions. So right now, I have all of my swimmers on hold. Some of them are paid for a 10-session card, 25, 50, 100 sessions. Now, various people are going to be at different levels of cards. They're going to have different levels of credit left on those cards. But essentially, I have cash in the system for these advance payments. Now, you can look at this as both a liability and as an asset. The liability factor, of course, is that as things get tight for people, potentially people will start to be asking for refunds. And that's already happening to some extent. But the question you need to be asking yourself and plotting is, how much are they asking back for? What percentage of that war chest, let's call it a war chest. So the war chest is how much money you actually got from those advance payments, if indeed you've got that. Or maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's a payout from work or something like that. What is that war chest? How is that contributing? But from a coaching perspective and taking those advance payments, that can be a liability. Because obviously, at some point, people might start asking for refunds back. Well, rather not might, they will. But how much? How much are they going to start asking back for? Now, you might have a lot of swimmers who are in your squad, if you're a coach like me, who are being super generous, just saying, hey, just put it on pause. Don't need it back. I've already, in my head, I've already written off that money. So don't panic too much. Hold on to it for now. And that's going to be fine. But some of your clients, some of your swimmers, if you're a swimming coach like me, are going to start to get tight on funds themselves, and they're going to look at how and where they can claw this back. So consequently, we need to be very mindful of, okay, how is this going to happen? What sort of magnitude and when is that going to occur? However, the asset aspect of this is that having that war chest, whilst there's liability on it in terms of, okay, this war chest, really, it's not your money if you haven't completed those sessions yet. But the asset on this is, okay, well, this money, this advance payment, is being an asset because it's actually allowing me or giving me some revenue at this point in time. It's not coming in as constant revenue, of course, but it's funding to help see you through this period. Now, the asset aspect of that then is, how do you hang on to that asset? What do you need to do with your swimmers? Your swimmers might not be, or let's say if you're a fitness industry expert or a gym instructor, your clients might not be wanting to give you additional revenue because you're not providing a service as such, certainly not compared to what they're used to. But many people will be trying to help you out. If they genuinely want you to come back and bounce back after this, they will try and do everything they can to help you out. And the biggest thing they can do, if you have these advance payments, is simply say to them, please be patient with that. Please don't request a refund just yet. Let me hang on to that. We're going to come bouncing back. You have to believe that we're going to come bouncing back from all this. And if they do that, and you can hang on to that, then it will help you get through that. Now, you might not have a war chest, and you might have to be thinking, okay, well, what government incentives are there for me? Do I get down on there? Do I get onto the dole? Do I do this? Do I do that? I don't know. I don't know what your experience is in the particular country in, that you're in, but what you definitely need to look at doing is making sure that you've investigated exactly what's available. Now, even if you pull up everything and saying, okay, now this doesn't work, I'm not eligible for that, it doesn't work for this, it doesn't work for that, at least you actually know. So taking the swimming example one more time, rather than you just throwing up your arms in the air and saying, I'm on a plateau, my swimming's never getting any better, this is it, dull and gloom, I'm always going to be the last out of the water. Well, consequently, what we're thinking about this in today's age with the coronavirus is doing exactly the same. We're throwing our hands up saying, I'm going to run out of money, I'm going to lose my business, it's going to all fall apart. And trust me, I've done exactly that. This week, I've had a massive wobble. I decided on Monday that if I couldn't be out there coaching, then I'd try and run a 7 a.m. daily stretch routine. On this daily stretch routine, I dressed up like a 1980s glam rock star for a little bit of fun, and we played 1980s music, and it was a lot of fun. But the reality of it all was I was hiding behind an alter ego. I was trying to get people to be happy and engage, etc. But people aren't ready for that, it seems, at this point in time. So we're at the end of March 2020, and people maybe just not ready for that level of engagement. In terms of doing exercise, a lot of people are enjoying the solitude of just going out by themselves, just getting any chance to do something without too much structure. So I was trying to, as simple as it was, I'm just saying 7 o'clock meters every morning. For a lot of people, it's probably too structured. That and the fact that I probably looked like a complete idiot running around, hashtag FondaSmooth, looking like a moron. Anyway, it only got to the third morning, and I totally had I was just about to sort of start the webcast via Zoom, and I froze. Massive, massive panic anxiety. I'd been up the night before. I'd been panicking suddenly about thinking about this war chest being the liability that, you know, you could view that it is. And thinking to myself, okay, if the pool's going to stay closed for a lot longer than we initially anticipated, then of course people will start asking for refunds coming back. So that was what was going through my head. I was super, super nervous about them asking for that. I'd stayed up until about 2 a.m. I got up ready to do this thing at 7 a.m. I had this massive panic attack, and I just didn't start the webinar. I just didn't start it. I've never done anything like that before in my life. I would say I'm fairly robust, especially when it comes to presenting. I've certainly had my fair share of depression over the years, which I've obviously publicized through various channels in the past. But this was completely different. This was freezing up and being unwilling to do something which I know I can do. And it's all because I was just totally overwhelmed by everything. But at that particular point, and you might be at that particular point right now, I just told myself that it was all dull and gloom. The pool's going to stay closed longer. I've got this liability with the money, this war chest thing. I've got no revenue coming in. We've only got a certain amount of money in the bank account. The mortgage is such and such and all that type of thing. And I just forecast total doom. I wasn't sure when it was going to happen. And ironically enough, going through what I've just been telling you there has allowed me to identify when that will actually happen. And funnily enough, it was actually quite a comforting thing. So even if you running these numbers and using the spreadsheet tells you are going to run out of money next week or next fortnight or next month or 2 months time or what have you, it should allow you, the positive you can take from that is that it should allow you to then say, hey, look, these are the drastic actions that we need to take. And you might already have started that. You might have started cancelling your subscriptions to X, Y, and Z. You might have put your mortgage on hold, etc. But have you actually forecast it out? Are you just telling yourself, this is the end of the world, you're going to run out, you're going to lose your house, as I was doing earlier on this week. I've worked so hard for this house, 5 years of my life. We've been in here for now, and I've worked harder now than ever because I love the place that we live. I don't want to lose it. Ironically enough, when we moved in here, we stretched ourselves to move into this house, and I had the same blip. I had the same panic. It's exactly the same thing 5 years ago. It wasn't coronavirus, but I thought, I've stretched myself too far here. My income is not high enough. I'm not going to be able to afford the repayments. We're going to be out of here in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, or what have you. Didn't know at that point, but I knew it was not looking great. So what did I do? Well, I planned it all out. I used another spreadsheet very similar to this, and I started to look at what inputs I needed to put in and also how we needed to control that expenditure. It's basically just budgeting 101. And like I say, I'm not a finance guy. You can all do this though. It's just numbers. It's just maths. And that is what I'm good at. I am good at mathematics in the sense of conceptual mathematics, if you like, thinking about these models. I've had help and assistance from one of our squad members, Chris Knott, who's been brilliant. He's the guru behind calculations and Excel spreadsheets and stuff like that. But conceptually, I came up with this idea. How can we generate that forecast? How can we look at the liability slash asset value of the war chest, and what can we do to actually move that forwards? So consequently, we've actually constructed this thing here, and like I say, it's just the same as the budget I ended up doing for the buying the house. It told me that, okay, I needed to earn X amount of dollars extra per month. This is how I'm going to do it. I identified that I don't normally work on a Thursday. I'm going to run two extra one-to-one sessions on a Thursday. This is 5 years ago, of course, can't do that right now, but that is what I did to make these payments work and to look at the expenditure. Can we afford to do this? Can't we afford to do that? And gradually, and funnily enough, it actually prompted me to create a brand new system. Something really good came of that period 5 years ago, where I actually switched from a totally manual payments and booking system to an entirely automated system. Now, that automated system is still not great. It still causes me a few issues every now and again. They are being very supportive of us all going through this time right now and offering to pause subscription rates on that. The company is called MindBody. So big kudos to MindBody out there. They're definitely looking after their clients in that regard, which is great. But by setting up that and being forced, using this fear that I had, this fear of, I'm going to lose the house. I bought this beautiful house. I'm proud of it. I want to show it off. But reality of it is I've stretched myself too far. I'm going to run out. So what I did, I felt that fear. I felt that stress. I felt the depression from that for a little while. But then I started to plan. And by planning through that, I suddenly then started to turn it around and think, okay, well, this is when this money is going to run out if things stay as they are. But let's keep updating it. And initially I was updating it every week and then every month. Then it went out to every quarter, then every 6 months. Now, certainly in the last 2 or 3 years, because of all the changes that I made on to make that automated system of payment and booking to safeguard against people, you know, cancelling late or not showing up for sessions and these sort of things, it had a massive impact on that. And for the last, two, three, 4 years, I haven't really had to look at that budget too much at all, because the systems that I put in place took care and safeguarded the future of the house. Now, that future of the house now, as is probably yours, is up in the air as well. I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I'm not going to tell you it's all rosy. It's not. The world is in absolute disarray at the moment. But what can you do? What can you do to change that? What can you do to try to control it? People say you can't control anything here. It's all out of our hands. But what you can do is you can think about this like you're swimming or like your triathlon preparation. You can ask yourself exactly where I am right now. And that normally takes a bit of pain. The pain for doing it in a sporting context is doing a time trial or doing some sort of physiological testing. It's not pleasant, but it needs to be done. Right now, you need to go through your bank account. You need to ascertain exactly where you're at with things if you've not done that already. You then need to go to the bigger pain of actually doing a full budget. Sod it if you don't like it. I hate it. I have to do it. Get in there, itemize it all out. See where the savings can be made. Start to plug that into this spreadsheet. Then you need to, if you're in my scenario, look at this war chest. How much money have you got as credit in the system? And how likely are people to start asking for refunds on that? What can you do to offer them value, to stop them wanting to do that, to stop them needing to ask for those refunds, which in its sense is the greatest gift that they can give you right now. The greatest gift your clients can give you right now is to simply hold on to that, if that's how you operate with that advanced payment. Allowing you to hold on to that will help to safeguard you through this and at least calculate for when and where you're going to start to run dry. So calculating this, getting that plan done, it's not easy. It does take some pain. But rather than spending your evenings right now just sitting on Netflix or looking through Facebook and looking online and scaring yourself with all the news around the world, put yourself in lockdown, close the doors, close it all down, Stay with your family, spend time with your family, but focus on planning. Plan what you can do. Don't get caught up in all the noise of people needing to, as I was doing last week, putting out loads of videos left, right, and center, thinking, I need to try and claw back some money here. People, I need some views. I need some eyeballs. I need people watching me. I need. Ultimately, all of that is just distracting from the most important thing that you can do for yourself right now, which is to budget and to plan. And even if the numbers don't look good, I can't guarantee they're going to look good for you. I can't guarantee that going through this process is going to make you feel any better, but it will give you the knowledge of exactly where you're at right now. And with that, then hopefully you can start to mitigate some of those issues and start to move forwards and do some more research into the government grants, etc. Because unless you know where you're at, even if somebody tells you we're going to pay you £1,000 extra per month through the government incentive or some form of unemployment insurance in Canada is going to give you X number of dollars per week or something like that. If you don't know what you're feeding that into right now, if you haven't got a forecast on where you're at, those numbers can be squandered quite easily. Who's to say you're not just going to take that money and go down to the bottle shop and buy yourself a carton of wine or a big box of beer or something like that? You know, I would do. That's exactly the instinctive thing that I would do in these crazy times. But it's not the right thing to do. The right thing, I believe, and you know, take it with a pinch of salt, do whatever you wish with this, is to focus on planning right now. Focus on bringing that budget together. Think of it like a training program. Think of it like your triathlon program. Think of it as ascertaining where exactly you're at, what things you need to focus on to get better. Plan it out, forecast it out, and just like you do with a triathlon, you'd maybe say, look, I want to do an Olympic distance triathlon in under 2 hours and 30 minutes by, I don't know, July or something like that. How do you do it? Well, you plan it out. You know what your training sessions are. You plug them in. Is this session going to be better than this session? Yes or no? Do that session then. Don't do the other session. Are you going to be wasting your time doing a 4 hour easy bike ride when you're only doing a sprint distance triathlon? Yes, of course you are. So don't do the 4 hour training ride. Do the sprint distance training ride for the triathlon. Do what you need to do right now. Plan it out like it's a training program. And if you can do that, knowing where you're starting, knowing what is either coming in or not, knowing what is likely to be going out, both in terms of monthly expenditure, just of daily living, and also in my case again with the liability aspect of having advance payment for the sessions that you haven't actually delivered yet, then by knowing all of that, then you can start to project it forwards. And we really hope that that the spreadsheet that we're producing here might be shared around and people be able to take use of this and benefit from this, because right now, let's face it, we're all hurting. I'm hurting. I thought I wasn't at the weekend. I then went through a blip and realized I was. Things are looking better simply because I feel like I'm able to control some tiny little speck of an aspect of all of this right now. It's not enough, I know, but that's all I can do. And it's all you can do right now is to control those controllables. And yes, that's a cliche. It's a statement which we've used so much in the past, but right now it's more important than ever. So, thanks for listening. I hope you found this useful.